You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where.
Good Tuesday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. Right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning so far. A lot of news going on. You know, I feel like this little piece of audio with Andrew Pollack in it haunts me. Okay, and so I play it. And if Mike, this came up a couple times yesterday, but this is the audio. And if you listen to the program,
my daughter has no voice.
You've heard it before.
She was murdered last week, and she was taken from us. Shot 9 times on the third floor. We, as a country, failed our children. This shouldn't happen. We go to the airport. I can't get on a plane with a bottle of water.
Now, the question is, it's a question about money. Do you hear states crying, help us? Do you hear school districts making national headlines saying, help us? You don't hear that. So what have they done? What have they done about it? The answer is probably not much.
We leave it, some animal could walk into a school and shoot our children. It's just not right, and we need to come together as a country and work on what's important.
But we don't do that anymore as a country, all right? We don't do that anymore as a country. We don't come together. We don't solve our issues. We don't deal with our issues. And so it's exceedingly frustrating. And then after the program yesterday, you know, when I was putting stuff on the internet and stuff like that, you know, I got to think about it. And so this big hoopla yesterday, nobody that got up to talk say, hey, you know, this is great. Okay, but don't kid yourself. You know, if you want to protest against guns and raising the age to 21 or outlawing that, it's not going to stop the next school shooting. Nobody said that. You know, it's all about guns. Okay, the 300 million guns. That's probably a low estimate, by the way. 300 million guns in the United States. But where in God's name are the people that will solve the problem? So all that energy hijacked, in my opinion, by one of our political parties to further their political ends, right? And hopefully capture all these young people for their party. 'Cause I won't even name it because it's not relevant. What's relevant is we have a problem in our nation, and that is violence at schools. And we have to solve it so that parents don't have to go parents don't have to go to a morgue and pick their kid up from school. And there can be no excuse for it anymore. And so the days that I don't play this, I feel like I've betrayed. I feel like I betrayed Andrew Pollock.
And that's protecting our children in the schools. That's the only thing that matters right now. Everyone has to come together and not think about different wars. We need to come together as a country, not different parties, and figure out how we protect the schools. It's simple. It's not difficult. We protect airports. We protect concerts, stadiums, embassies, the Department of Education that I walked in today that has a security guard in the elevator. How do you think that makes me feel? In the elevator, they got a security guard. I'm very angry that this happened, because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once, and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me. I'm not gonna sleep until it's fixed. And Mr. President, we're going to fix it, because I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to rest. And look, my boys need to live with this. I want to see everyone. You guys look at this. Me, I'm a man, but to see your children go through this, bury their sister. So that's what I keep saying this, because I want it to sink in, not forget about this. We can't forget about it. All the school shootings. It doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting, and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed, because my daughter I'm not going to see again. She's not here. She's not here. She's in North Lauderdale, whatever it is, King David Cemetery. That's where I go to see my kid now. And if it stops, we all work together and come up with the right idea. And it's school safety. It's not about gun laws right now. That's another fight, another battle.
That's another fight, another battle. It's not about gun laws. It's about school safety. What haven't you heard? What haven't you heard? And to me, what's shameful about it is that there's political leaders that are content with this. Yeah, we're winning. Well, let me ask you a question. The next time this happens at a school, what will you say to the next group of parents that looks at you and says, why didn't you enact some kind of program to help fund from the federal, state, county government in a partnership with the school districts so that there could be a security officer at my son or daughter's school? Why didn't you do that? And the answer will be, I didn't do that because I was too busy making political inroads with the issue at Marjorie Douglas High School. That's the truth. And because making those political points is more important than solving this problem. I feel really bad, though, that your daughter's dead. Your son's dead.
Fix the schools. And then you guys can battle it out, whatever you want. But we need our children safe. Monday, tomorrow, whatever day it is, your kids are going to go to school. You think everyone's kids are safe? I didn't think it was going to happen to me. If I knew that, I would have been at the school every day if I knew it was that dangerous. It's enough. Let's get together, work with the president, and fix the schools. That's it. No other discussions. Security, whatever we have to do. Get the right people, the consultants. It's a... These are our commodities. I'm never going to see my kid again. I want you all to know that. Never, ever will I see my kid. That's how I want it to sink in. It's eternity. My beautiful daughter, I'm never going to see again. And it's simple. It's not, we can fix it.
So when I don't play that, I feel shitty about myself. Because business as usual, right? Everybody feel good after the weekend, right? You don't march for our lives. How about a march for school safety around the country? How about demanding that children be able to go to school and we protect our schools, like as Andrew Pollock said, you know, there's a police officer in the elevator at the Department of Education. Why? So, you know, you can't have the crazies running around the Department of Education. Got to have a cop there. But at your school, no. In spite of all of this. So, anyway, to me, it's extremely discouraging to watch our nation and the way it works. Or probably the way it doesn't work. All right. With that said, I want to talk a little bit about transgender. Right? President released a policy. And, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot written, like, in terms of the substance. So this is the document the White House released on Friday. The Associated Press reporting that there's been an arrest made. Several packages, suspicious packages, were mailed to military facilities in Northern Virginia. So, news on that, I'm sure, forthcoming. All right, so here, this is from the president. Pursuant to my memorandum of August 25th, 2017, military service by transgender individuals, the Secretary of Defense, in consultation with the Secretary of Homeland Security, submitted to me a memorandum and report concerning military service by transgender individuals. These documents set forth the policies on this issue that the Secretary of Defense, in the exercise of his independent judgment, has concluded should be adopted by the Department of Defense. The Secretary of Homeland Security concurs with these policies with respect to the U.S. Coast Guard. Among other things, the policy set forth by the Secretary of Defense state that transgender person with a history or a diagnosis of gender dysphoria, individuals who the policies may require, individuals who the policies state may require substantial medical treatment, including medications and surgery, are disqualified from military service except under certain limited circumstances, by the authority vested in me as President of the United States and the laws of the United States of America, I hereby order as of the following. He revokes... All right. He revokes the old policy and puts into place a new policy. So let me read that again. Among other things, the policies set forth by the Secretary of Defense state that transgender persons with a history of diagnosis of gender dysphoria, individuals who the policies state may require substantial medical treatment, including medications and surgeries, are disqualified. All right, so what that does is it says that, look, based on deployability, and I've got now the Secretary of Defense's letter here. So I'm going to read parts of this letter to you, okay? Because, you know, you try to read some reporter's rendition of this, and in my opinion, it's you can't tell up from down. Here's one about school safety. How about some of these schools simply start with locking their doors, so at least the crazies can't get inside the schools? Yeah, but here's the problem. The problem is they've gotten in every time. The kid in Connecticut, he shot his way in. The guy in the most recent one pulled a fire alarm and gained entrance that way. Mac, our local high schools, all three of them, I could walk into any of these three today. Yes, they say visitors have to check in at the office, but come on. If I'm crazy, I can walk into one of those three schools here. Let's start with locking the doors, and then we can make more plans. But to start with, it doesn't cost much to lock the doors and put a buzzer out front. It's a place to start, for God's sake. I got a couple emails about Bull Halsey yesterday. We had the great Bull Halsey debate. This is Secretary Mattis's letter on. It's just so discouraging. You hear Andrew, and I think the whole nation saw that. How do you watch that father talk about, and you know, his daughter, you know, who was a beautiful girl, 14 years old, she's shot 9 times. How, when you hear that and you watch this again, do you not, you know, begin to get involved at the local level? All right, now this one is Secretary of Defense. Quote, transgender, okay, it's dated February, it's stamped dated, not like dated on the as part of the document. It's time stamped. February 22nd, 2019. Subject, military service by transgender individuals. Quote, transgender is a term describing those persons whose gender identity differs from their biological sex. A subset of transgender persons diagnosed with gender dysphoria experience discomfort with their biological sex, resulting in significant distress or difficulty functioning. Persons diagnosed with gender dysphoria often seek to transition their gender through prescribed medical treatments intended to relieve the distress and impaired functioning associated with their diagnosis. Prior to your election, the previous administration adopted a policy to allow for the accession and retention in the armed forces of transgender persons who had a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria. The policy also created a procedure by which such service members could change their gender. This policy was a departure from decades-long military personnel policy. On June 30, 2017, before the new accession standards were set to take effect, I approved the recommendation of the services to delay for an additional 6 months the implementation of these standards to evaluate more carefully the impact on readiness and lethality. To that end, I established a study group that included the representatives of the service secretaries and senior military officers, many with combat experience, to conduct the review. While this review was ongoing, on August 25th, 2017, you sent me and the Secretary of Homeland Security a memorandum expressing your concern that the previous administration's new policy, quote, failed to identify a sufficient basis for changing long-standing policy and that, quote, further study is needed to ensure the continued implementation of last year's policy change would not have negative effects. You then directed the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security to reinstate the pre-existing policy concerning accession that accession of transgender individuals until such time as a sufficient basis exists upon which to conclude that terminating that policy would not hinder military effectiveness and lethality, disrupt unit cohesion, or tax military resources. You made clear that we could advise you, quote, at any time in writing that a change to the policy is warranted. I created a panel of experts comprised of senior uniform and civilian defense DOD, U.S. Coast Guard leaders, and directed them to consider this issue and develop policy proposals based on data as well as their professional military judgment that would enhance the readiness, lethality, and effectiveness of our military. This panel included combat veterans to ensure that our military purpose remained the foremost consideration. I charged the panel to provide its best military advice based on increasing the lethality and readiness of America's armed forces without regard to any external factor. The panel met and received input from transgender service members, commanders of transgender service members, military medical professionals, and civilian medical professionals with experience in the care and treatment of individuals with gender dysphoria. The panel also reviewed available information on gender dysphoria, the treatment of gender dysphoria, and the effects of currently serving individuals with gender dysphoria on military effectiveness, unit cohesion, and resources. Unlike previous reviews on military service by transgender individuals, the panel's analysis was informed by the department's own data obtained since the new policy began to take effect last year. Based on the work of the panel and the department's best military judgment, the Department of Defense concludes that there are substantial risks associated with allowing the accession and retention of individuals with a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria and require or already undertaken a course of treatment to change their gender. Furthermore, the department also finds that exempting such persons from well-established mental health, physical health, and sex-based standards, which apply to all service members, including transgender service members without gender dysphoria, could undermine readiness, disrupt unit cohesion, and impose an unreasonable burden on the military that is not conducive to military effectiveness and lethality. The prior administration largely based its policy on a study prepared by the RAND National Defense Research Institute. However, the study contained significant shortcomings. It referred to limited and heavily caveated data to support its conclusions, glossed over impacts of healthcare costs, readiness, and unit cohesion, and erroneously relied on the selective experience of foreign militaries with different operational requirements than our own. In short, this policy issue has proven more complex than the prior administration or RAND assumed. I firmly believe that compelling behavioral health reasons require the department to proceed with caution before compounding the significant challenges inherent in treating gender dysphoria with unique, highly stressful circumstances of military training and combat operations. Preservation of unit cohesion, absolutely essential to military effectiveness and lethality, also reaffirms this conclusion. Therefore, in light of the panel's professional military judgment and my own professional judgment, the department should adopt the following policy. Okay, so all of that to get to this. Now, interestingly enough, and I can tell you because of working for him, he does not shrink from issues like this. In fact, if anything, these kind of cutting-edge issues, if you will, interest him very much intellectually. Despite of all the bravado and he's a tough talker, he's an extremely intellectual leader. And so I don't know if enjoys these kind of challenges is the right phraseology for it, but I think he relishes the opportunity to look into these kind of issues and to do the right thing for the nation and obviously the Department of Defense. And I'll tell you what, and going into this, if you had asked me what will he decide, I would have told you I have no idea. Oh, Mac, you mean this isn't just boilerplate to ban transsexuals? No. he'll do the right thing. I told you. You could show up and put a gun to his head and say, Mattis, you're going to use this study to ban transsexuals. And he'd look at you and say, pull the trigger. I'll do the study, and the study will be done appropriately, and whatever it recommends, I'll recommend. So pull the trigger if you want to. He's that guy. All right, so here are the recommendations. Transgender persons with a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria are disqualified from military service except under the following limited circumstances. One, if they have been stable for 36 months in their biological sex prior to accession. Okay, now the key phrase is in their biological sex. Two, service members diagnosed with gender dysphoria after entering into service may be retained if they do not require a change of gender and remain deployable within applicable retention standards. Remember 6 weeks, 2 months ago when I talked about the deployability thing? Okay, that would be a basis of this. Again, the concept is you're a widget. Three, currently serving service members who have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria since the previous administration's policy took effect and prior to the effective date of this policy may continue to serve in their preferred gender and receive medically necessary treatment for gender dysphoria. Next bullet, which would be two. It's not numbered two, they're bullets, so I can't really say two. Transgender persons who require or who have undergone gender transition are disqualified from military service. Transgender persons without a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria who are otherwise qualified for service may serve like all other service members in their biological sex. Then it concludes, I've consulted with the Secretary of Homeland Security. She agrees with these proposed policies. By its very nature, military service requires sacrifice. The men and women who serve voluntarily accept limitations on their personal liberties, freedom of speech, political activity, freedom of movement, in order to provide the military lethality and readiness necessary to ensure American citizens enjoy their personal freedoms to the fullest extent. Further, personal characteristics, including age, mental acuity, physical fitness, and among others, matter to field a lethal and deadly force. In my professional judgment, these policies will place the Department of Defense in the strongest position to protect the American people, to fight and win America's wars, and to ensure the survival of our service members around the world. And then he attaches a report, signed James N. Mattis. So, I thought that was important. That's why I've spent the time on it. So, you can see obviously how the policy works. You can serve, if you have quote unquote gender dysphoria, but you've lived as you are for 3 years, and you go to enlist, and as you're questioned, you tell them that, yeah, I have no plans on changing my gender, then you can serve. However, if in the plan you require surgery, then you can't serve because you're not going to be a widget. So, so Grant Newsham is going to join us, and I have to start the program, and then he's going to hop on. So, with all that done, the only other thing I didn't get to that I wanted to talk about in the open was Orange County, California, is pushing back on the state of California. And California in the news for a couple reasons. Their attorney general is trying to make himself a national political figure, and so just know that. But anyway, the county of Orange in California, home to 3.2 million people, expressed support of Los Alamitos and announced that the county sheriff will publish the dates of release of illegal immigrants, and they can do that legally in the state. And they are contemplating joining the lawsuit filed by the United States against the state of California, holding that the state laws prohibiting cooperation with federal authorities are unconstitutional. So, so we will salute the city council of the County of Orange in California. Momentarily. So that was the only thing I didn't get to. We'll get to that later. Grant Newsham going to stand by. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. And this is dedicated, I don't know that I've ever dedicated this to an elected official, but this is dedicated to a body of elected officials, the Orange County City Council, or County Commission, whatever the hell they are. And, you know, we are a nation of law, and that should matter. So, good morning.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.